Father, I pray that you would lead us into that trust with you, Father. I pray that any walls and barriers that we've built up, Father, where we don't trust you fully, or where we don't have the courage to give you full faith, Father, for whatever reason that may be, God, I pray that those walls and those barriers be broken down. Father, I pray that we would look to you for everything, that we would look to you when those storms in life come, when those battles come, when challenges arise. Father, I pray that we would look to you and you alone. Father, we thank you. God, be with us the rest of the service. Father, I pray that you would impact us and impact our hearts, God. Father, I pray that if there's walls that we may have put up, God, that you would knock those walls down, God, so that we can hear your truth today. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Can you hear me okay now? Do I need to talk louder? Okay. Thanks to the music team. Because if I need to talk louder to keep you guys awake, I can. At the lake, when we were going through stuff, I found a big box of super soakers, and then we had those easy-to-make water balloons. I could bring those up here. Don't. I won't. My wife would give me heck if I did that. And only because she wouldn't want her hair wrecked, I'm sure. Well, we've just finished our series on making an impact, not being complacent, making an impact in our community and our world around us. So I thought, you know what, I don't want to start a new series, because really for the next three Sundays after this week, I don't preach. I get to hang out. One Sunday I get to watch, and then 2 weeks we're on holidays, or two Sundays anyway. So I thought, what can we talk about? How can I ruffle feathers enough to make people excited for me to come back? So I thought, this is a good one. Facing the battle, whose battle is it? Because sometimes in life, we feel like we're in a battle, right? Sometimes there's things going on around us, there's situations in our life where we're like, oh, this is tough. Feels like a battle. Sometimes things feel like they're going all wrong. Like, I remember when we got the call about that tornado up at our lake, and I was like, the first place your head goes to is worst case. Like, I got the call, and the first thing I was told is, your boat's on its side, this is on its side, this is gone, everything's gone. Well, my boat wasn't really on this side. Like I said last week, just the tree branches were pushing it up to make it look like it was on its side. My trailer was shifted. We had minor damage comparative. But everything wasn't lost and all hope wasn't gone. People, that's the feeling we get. But how do we handle things when things are going wrong? How do we handle when there's sickness, there's disease, there's chaos in the world around us? What do we do? And I think the best way we can approach any battle, we can approach any situation in our life, is to ask ourselves a question. Whose battle is it? Whose battle is it? So today we're going to focus on 2 Chronicles 20. And there's a key verse today we're going to focus on. We're going to get to that in a few moments. Actually, let's get to it now. The key verse for today is, for this battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. It's not your battle, it's the Lord's. It's God's battle. So why do we continually take on the battle as our own? See, the things you're facing, they're not yours. They're not your problems. They're not your disease. They're not your sickness. They're not your fights in your family. They're not whatever. It's not your battle. It's the Lord's. I've heard people say, well, I got this call in my life to suffer. I'm called to suffer. I like to suffer because I'm told I have to suffer. When you tell me that, you make me suffer. See, we have a destiny's call on our lives. And that isn't a life of living defeated, beat up, lost, unsuccessful. That's not the destiny call. It's a destiny call of promise and amazing things. God has given us every promise as a believer that he has given to Israel, his chosen people. When we ask Christ into our life, we take on that birthright. Some of us choose to give up, put our head down, kick the dirt, roll over. It's all over. It's over. I can't kick dirt. We don't have dirt up here. But you know what I mean? Instead, we need to stand in victory because the battle's the Lord's. Right? See, how many of us are choosing to be victors instead of victims, though? Because I think a lot of the world would much rather be a victim because, hey, oh, it's okay. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine, Stacy. You're going to get through this, right? How many people would rather have people rally around? But no, when we're victors, we should be rallying around each other, cheering it on. Yeah! We didn't even get feedback when I screamed there, right? I would rather go to a victory parade than a funeral, wouldn't you? Who would rather go to a funeral? Victory parade? Because parades are fun, right? Like I said before, we can throw candy at kids from the floats, shoot them with super soakers, all that fun stuff. See, guys, we're conquerors. We're not casualties. We need to stop acting like casualties. We're warriors. We're not wimps. Are we a wimp? Are you a wimp? We need to be stronger. We need to be courageous. See, Scripture tells us that we have a treasure in an earthen vessel in our body. That means that God put his power in us. Did you know that? He gave us the Holy Spirit. See, greater is us in us than that he that is in the world. Did you know that? So why do we not live like that? We live like greater is he that is out there running amok in everybody's life than that he that lives in us, right? Maybe I'm looking at the wrong people. But that's what I see out there. See, God put his power in us. Sickness, disease, oppression has no authority over our lives. Do you think it does? I don't believe it does. I don't believe sickness has authority over me. I don't believe disease has authority over me. As a friend said to me, whatever your context, you have content. So for what he's saying is, for every great situation, you have greater within you. My friend Lennart told me that. And we can display the power of God. We need to stop living like victims because we're what? We're victors. We have the victory. So, if you go through something, it's not, oh yes, I'm going through it. It's my opportunity to suffer. This is it. I get to suffer for Jesus. No, he didn't come so I can suffer. Take that, whatever issue's coming before you, take it as an opportunity to show how good your God is, because the battle's his. The battle's won. The issue's not yours, it's the Lord, so give it to him. Don't hold on tight. Here's my chance. I'm going to get some kisses and some hugs because people are going to feel bad for me. That's not what this is about. See, I think one of the reasons that we struggle through life, or people struggle through life, is because they talk about how they feel rather than what they believe. Too many people say, I'm sick. Too many people say, I'm broke. Too many people say, I have no friends. See, but they put a period at the end of all those too. Did you notice that? But where you put a period, God always puts a comma. Another friend said that. And I was like, I love that. I love that saying. Where you put the period in your life, and some of you put the exclamation mark, but I'm sick. God puts a comma. Because he is the author, he is the finisher of our life, is he not? It's not finished with God. But Dave, this has me up all night. I am so stressed. Dave, I have this and this. Dave, I can't sleep because I'm waiting for these test results to come in. Dave, oh, it's just so hard. That's my stressed out voice, in case you didn't know. You know what? Who could sleep during a storm? Jesus could sleep during a storm, couldn't he? I could sleep during a storm in my trailer. The lightning's kind of cool, but the rain. Anyways, I'm going where I'm not supposed to go. But Jesus could sleep during a storm, couldn't he? He was in the boat. There's a storm, massive waves. People are freaking out. Don't you see the storm? And what's Jesus doing? He's having a siesta, isn't he? I think because he knew what Isaiah told us. See, Isaiah tells us, the one who has Israel will not slumber nor sleep. Doesn't it? The one who has Israel. So the one who has us never slumbers nor sleeps. So God's up handling things. So why do we need to stay up? Because it's his battle. Right? Isaiah 54 tells us that not one weapon formed against us shall what? Not one weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every sickness, every tongue that comes against you shall not prosper. Every negative thing that tries to attack you or your family shall not prosper. That's what Scripture tells us. Yeah, but this one's going to get me, Dave. I didn't see this coming. No, it says in Scripture that no weapon formed against me will prosper, doesn't it? So the question I have is, how do you see yourself in the middle of an issue? How do we handle this battle? Do you accept it? Do you accept the battle and say, well, this is just how it is. I'm just going to have to suffer through it. Or do you speak to the storm and say, you have no authority over me? Because that's how we handle it. We have two choices, to take it or say, get lost. Now, when the storm is coming or when the storm's there, it's tough, right? Our vision gets blurred. When you're in a storm and you're trying to drive on the highway and you got rain pelting you, do you see well? Can you always see well through your windshield wipers? Are trying to keep up, but they can't keep up, right? It gets a little blurred. Our outlook gets distorted and our focus grows faint. But we need to see the victory with our eyes. We need eyes that can look yet see. When something comes up, too many people look at what's coming against them. Too many people are looking at the walls or whatever's coming against them. They don't see the victory that Jesus brings. See, we have eyes that can see, and Scripture tells us that without vision, what happens to my people? They perish. You cannot ever look at your situation with fleshly eyes. You can't. Because sight's a function of the eyes, right? Is sight a function of the eyes? Vision is different, though. Vision's a function of your heart. Vision's a function of your heart. Sight is what you can see. Vision is what the Lord gives you to see. So we need eyes that can see us victorious. We need to see relationships restored. We need to see people being healed. We need to see it. Not with just our heart, but our eyes. We need to see that full compass connection. I don't know if it's a connection of a compass, but you know what I mean. We need to see the connection between our eyes to our heart. If we can conceive it and believe it, then we can achieve it. We need to move it from our head to our heart, and it'll show up in our hands. Well, when you were in school, don't put it yet. Oh, you'd mess me up. We learned the ABCs, didn't we? We learned ABCs when you're in kindergarten. Who learned the ABCs? Come on, hands up. Amaris, you didn't learn yet? Oh, you're in grade 8 this year. Man, Nora didn't learn it either. She's going to grade 9. Well, I don't know what's going on with our education system. Something's wrong.
But we've been taught since we were little, A, B, C. But we should have been teaching people since they were little, like our kids, CBA. Conceive it, believe it, achieve it. So I've shared this before, but eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. We need people with eyes that can see. Vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by conviction of what should be. I don't want to look at what could be. I want to see what should be in my life. I just don't want a dream out there. I want it to become reality. See, there's a significant difference. So what's your perspective? Because your perspective can change how you fight. Where are you fighting from? How you see will affect your fight. How you see your trials and challenges in life when they come up. How do you see that? Do you see them as insurmountable? Do you see them as something that you can't beat? Do you look at your challenges like, oh, I guess this is my time to suffer. Yay! I make light of that because I think it's silly. I think it's silly if you think that we're supposed to suffer. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But we are not called to suffer because we're conquerors. See, let me give you perspective. Have we all heard of the story of David and Goliath? So are you guys going to be one of the guys on the sides of the mountains that sees the giant taunting you and defying you? Or do you see the glory of God in this situation? What's your perspective? Are you looking at the taunts or are you seeing the victory? Are you seeing the challenge or do you see the victory that only Jesus can bring? Do you see the issues that come up in life as these insurmountable obstacles, or do you see it as an opportunity for God to demonstrate his providence over your life? See, we need to see victory. We need to see these battles in life as not even ours. We need to give him the battle, because when we give him the battle, when we give God the battle, he shows up every single time on our behalf. Our God is mindful of us, and we need to have eyes that can see the victory that he brings. You know why? Because when you give it to God, there is no problem that he cannot solve. Have you ever seen God not be able to solve a problem? Heck, if you gave God a Rubik's cube that was all messed up, he could solve it in world record time. There's no problem that God can't solve, and that's just a Rubik's cube. I'm just kidding, but you know what I mean, right? There's no problem that we face that God cannot solve. And how we see life affects how we live. It affects how we fight. It affects how we go about our life. So I think I might have shared this story once or twice with you guys. But I think it's something we need to remember every single day. So, before we go on to the story, though, I want you guys to remember CBA. Conceive it, believe it, achieve it. See, when God gives you a vision for something, when you conceive it and you believe it with your whole heart, with everything that's in you, that God's given you this vision, God has given you this desire, when God can defeat whatever foe is put before you, God does not put these foes in front of you. Remember that. When that foe is put before in front of you because the devil is at work or Satan's at work in your life or not in your life but in the lives of others around you, conceive that God has the victory in your life. Believe that he has the victory and he will have the victory. When you believe with full faith and full heart that he will have the victory, he has the victory. But you need to believe. You need to believe. So anyway, 2 Chronicles 20. Conceive it, believe it, achieve it. Remember, 2 Chronicles 20 now. We have this king, King Jehoshaphat, who's facing seemingly this impossible situation, right? But here's the thing. Although the battle is the Lord's, he requires us to what? to be people of faith, to people be people that believe. We need to trust him. We need to do more than just exist. He wants us to live, doesn't he? We need to trust him. We need to have faith that he has the situation under control, and we need to live. We cannot be victims in this fight. Jesus came so we can have what? Life, right? We are victorious in Christ, are we not? He breathed into us the breath of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to get a life. So if I tell you to get a life, I'm not being mean. I'm telling you, find Jesus. Get with Jesus. Find some victory. Get a life. Anyway, back to the story. Sorry. Oh, we're past that, Ella. So anyway, King Jehoshaphat, he's faced with his greatest challenge during his reign. And starting in 2 Corinthians 20, verse 2. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from the north, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. See, there's this group of people from the north coming down to destroy Judah. Okay? So what do you do when you're going through something? You need to know that you serve a God who is a God of breakthroughs. And that's what David said. He is a God of breakthroughs. I don't know if you've ever read that, but David says that in Scripture. In the face of incredible odds, when this group is coming to destroy them all, what did Jehoshaphat do? He declared a fast, and he said, we need to pray. We need to know when is the right time to eat and when is the right time to seek him. We need to know when is the time that we need to get on our knees and pray to God. We need to know when how to seek him properly and efficiently. When things are tough, the greatest weapon that we have is prayer and fasting. So as soon as Jehoshaphat heard the bad news about the king coming from the north to destroy them, he sought God in prayer and fasting. He knew his success would come from only one source, from God, right? Like, if you didn't believe that your success, your victory in life would come from anywhere but God, what would you do? If you were Jehoshaphat, you didn't have full faith, full belief, full trust in God, what would you do if I came to you and said, Erla, this country's coming to destroy you and all of Rosetown, and you didn't have faith in God? You would run. You would run about screaming, the sky is falling. I'm going to suffer for Jesus. No, right? Sorry, I shouldn't do that, but I find it so humorous. So we're doing it today. See, as soon as they heard the bad news, he assembled the people in prayer. Because he knew the success was only come from God. He knew that the victory and triumph would only come from God. He knew that what he was going to be going through required the Lord's favor. He needed the Lord to bless him in this situation. So he prayed this prayer. I don't even know where you are right now. And Jehoshaphat, there we go, stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but what? But our eyes are on you. Up to the verse 12. See, God, we have no power, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God, I just got this note from the doctor that told me I have X. I don't know what to do, but God, my eyes are on you, and I know you can bring healing and victory into this situation. And I know it, and I have faith. God, I don't know what to do in my financial situation, but my eyes are on you, and they're fixed fully on you, and I know you're going to bring victory. See, our eyes need to be fully on him. As men, the men in the room, and women, you're going to understand this, so don't worry. But as men, we like to be Mr. Fix-Its, don't we? Like, I don't know how many times Stacy's gotten mad at me when she's told me a story, and I'm like, well, you should do this, 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 and this. This is how we're going to fix this situation. Women, can you relate to your guys being like that, or men? You're like that a little bit sometimes? Bill? You're not? Yeah, see? That's the best response right there. See, I know I like to be a Mr. Fix-It. See, I'm not looking at the circumstance, though, when I'm Mr. Fix-It. I'm looking at the solution. And my wife likes to look at what's going on around her. Like, oh, this happened and this happened. No, let's fix it. Here's the solution, right? David told us the only place our help can come from is the Lord, though. Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Have you ever looked into the light? Have you ever looked into a light? If you think about it, when you stare directly at a light, there's a shadow there. Did you know that? When you're looking at the light, you're actually looking into the shadow. A lot of people would rather look into that shadow than the light. See, that when we look at the light, we're looking usually, people mostly look at that shadow that's in front of it rather than the light that's behind it. Look it up. We need to stop looking at that shadow, and we need to start looking to the light. We need to stop living between two realities. What will we focus on? Will we have our eyes that look, or will we have our eyes that see? Every situation can have darkness in it, and every situation can have light. But too many of us look at the darkness and say, this is my situation. Right? Who's ever done that? I got my hand up. At some point in your life, you've done, look at my situation. Rather than looking at the light and saying, Jesus, have your way. I see victory. I don't know if you've ever read this verse. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you've heard it. It's kind of a common verse, so you probably have, where David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say we're going to stay here, did he? Did David say, I'm staying here, I'm going to set up camp here. This is where I want to be. I want to be in this shadow of death. I want to be here. This is the best place. No sun's hitting me, no light. No. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I'm not going to look around at the evil. I'm not staying here. I'm not camping out here in this darkness. I got my eyes set fully on Jesus. I've got my eyes set fully on him, on the light. I might be going through this while you're doing battle here, God, while this shadow, this cloud is blocking the light from me, but I'm going through. I'm not camping here. This is not where I'm meant to be. I'm meant to be living in the light. Right? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am, though. Don't stay here. Don't camp out here. Travel through, sure. Get going. Get on your way. Go to the light. So when a situation comes up, we need to realize that we're in a battle. We need to realize that something needs to happen. So what do you do when you're sick or when whatever happens? You need to consult the great physician. The great physician. Who's the great physician? Jesus, not Dr. Ernst or any of these other doctors in town. Jesus! Dr. Jesus! I don't know any other doctor's names than him. Sorry, Dr. Ernst, if you listen to this. You're probably a wonderful doctor. But we need to consult the great physician. I am not getting emergency care next time I go to the hospital because of that comment. Me and my big mouth. So it happens when I get up here and I get a microphone and I start talking. We need to consult the great physician, don't we? When there's things going on around us, we seek the wonderful counselor, don't we? We need to act and live just as Jehoshaphat lived and instructed us to do. So let's keep reading on this story. What happened? If we jump to verse 16, where are you? Oh, did I skip it? Oh, there we go. I skipped it. It was me that was lost. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael. Could they have not just said, son of Zechariah and been done with it? Awful with names. Son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. In the middle of the assembly, and he said, listen, all Judah inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at this great horde. Whoa. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. It's the Lord's. This is not your battle. You're not living here. You're not camping out here. You're just going through. Give the battle to Jesus and walk to the light. See, you don't need to worry about it. You don't need to lose sleep about it. You don't need to try to figure out every scenario. I'm an analyzer. I quickly analyze. Stacy's much more of a slower analyzer. You are. But I'm a quick analyzer. I make decisions, sometimes very quickly and wrongly. But I quickly jumped over that one too. But I quickly analyze. But really, instead of analyzing, I just need to give it to Jesus. I don't need to look at and play 50 questions of how is this going to play out. Jesus, you bring the victory. Jesus, this is your situation. Get behind me. Satan, Jesus has this. I'm going to victory. We can't be dismayed. We can't be afraid. We can't be weak-kneed. Because the battle's not yours. It's the Lord, and he's going to bring victory. You don't need to worry about it because you won't even need to fight it. Because that's what it says there. We're going to read about it in a second, but that battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. So finishing off in 16 and 17. It says, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position. And see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. How many of you try to fight that battle? How many of you would much rather just stand firm and watch the victory that only the Lord can bring? O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. See, we need to position ourselves to see the salvation of the Lord. When something's going wrong, when there's a health issue, when whatever it is, there's a relationship issue, when we have trials and troubles, don't accept that this is God's will. Don't accept I get to suffer for Jesus. Don't accept I'm earning my stripes. Don't accept I'm earning my crown. Don't accept I'm getting a better spot, getting a better castle in heaven. Don't accept that. See, Christ suffered so that we don't have to. And we need to trust him. I'm going to invite the music team up. See, I used a couple of my friends' quotes because they have better quotes than I do. I can't think of something witty sometimes. But I got this friend, and I don't know where he got it, but it's about trusting God and how we need to trust him. We'll get that in a second. My friend has this saying, though, and it's this. A brown cow eats green grass and makes white milk. Why? How? I don't know, but I need to have faith and I need to trust him that that's how it's supposed to be. And it's good for me. That milk is good, isn't it? When he makes something good for us, it's good. See, it's not the will of God that I go through trials and tribulations. And I don't want to hear, and I don't like hearing people say that. I don't want to hear somebody say, this is my calling to suffer. It's not our calling to suffer. That is not the will of God. You know what that's called? That's called, I don't have enough faith that my God can supply all my needs. It's called, I don't trust God to look after his promised people. That's what it's called. It's called, I hope he does, but if he doesn't, I guess so well. It's called, I want to manipulate some scripture so that I can suffer for Jesus. See, I think when something happens, we need to do something. We need to assume the position. And we need to get on our knees and we need to pray. And we need to believe and we need to declare in victory the promises of God over our life. But it's so easy just to say, I'm called to suffer. It's so easy to say, I'm just earning my crown. I would rather suffer for Jesus. I sound like Kermit the Frog when I say that because I think only a Muppet would say that. But people say it all the time. What do we believe? Have faith. I'm throwing stuff everywhere today. But we need to have faith. We need to believe. And we need to live like we do. And not live like we're suffering for Jesus. Maybe I stepped on your toes, and if I did, good. Because I don't want you guys to live like this. Why would we want to live a life defeated? Why wouldn't we want to live a life of victory that Jesus called us to live? This life full of benefits and amazing things. Man, I don't know. I think we need to shift some focus. And we need to get in the position and pray and believe with every cell in our body. Would you guys stand with me? Father God, God, we come before you and we just ask, Father, that if we've been holding something back, if we've been holding on to whatever the hang-up is going on in our life or whatever situation because we don't trust you, Father, we repent of that right now. Father, if we didn't trust you in some situations and we said, well, this is just how it is, God, I pray that you would shake our minds, Shake up our brains, shake up our hearts, Father, so that we would put our full trust and reliance on you. Father, I pray that if we're holding back our trust for whatever the reason, God, I pray that you would just wake us up to that. Father, you would wake us up to your goodness and your life. God, that you would wake us up to your victory and all the goodness that you bring. Father, I pray that not a soul in this room would be holding on to, I'm just going to suffer. But they would be holding on to the victory, and that they would have faith to believe that you bring that victory. Father, that they would declare it even before they see it, but that the vision of their heart, that what you've called us to do, would be welling out of their mouth and coming out of their mouth. That they wouldn't be saying, oh, I guess it's not going to happen. But Father, that they would believe it with every cell in their body, that there is healing and victory in what you bring and what you are. God, I pray that you would change our hearts. Change our focus. God, let us have eyes that see victory in our lives today. In Jesus' name.